Welcome this morning. Just going to invite everybody in. We're still coming in from the foyer. Jonathan is sick this morning, so I am filling in on his behalf. I'm looking forward to being with you this morning. He's here, present, but not able to sing and lead worship like he normally would. And so we are going to join our voices together and worship the Lord our God. Let's stand wherever you're at and begin our worship this morning.
Praises rising, high is our journey to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all your fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God. Thank you. praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Silence.
Are roaring praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is
Lord God, we acknowledge you as the name that exists above all names. Without the name of Jesus, no one would be saved. For his finished work, his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection has produced the forgiveness of sin. And through faith in him, we too may live a new life. And we should no longer fear death, but look forward to living in your presence forever and ever. God, bless this service. Bless this day. Open our hearts and our minds to you afresh, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, as you saw, so wonderfully relived on the screen, we had such a wonderful week last week with Creative Arts Camp, and we wanted to keep our kids in here to see that once again afresh. But at this time, we're going to dismiss our kids to Children's Church and invite all you, the rest of you adults, to stand and greet one another, visit with one another, welcome one another.
You are all clearly not as tired as I am. Friday, we were all here, and after CAC had ended in the at noon, 12:30, and then we stayed and reset things and worked and cleaned and then went home, and I found myself sitting straight up in a chair doing one of these moments. Oh, in one of these. So tired. But I was so happy to have all you here. If you are a guest, if you were here during our CAC week and you are visiting with us today, you are so very welcome. I am glad that you are here. We would love to get to know you a little bit more. We have connect cards in the pockets in front of you with just basic information. But most importantly, when you exit today, if you fill one of those cards out, would you go to our welcome counter? When you leave, it's on the right-hand side. We just have a gift for you, just a mug to remember us by, and we want to connect. And I just want to remind our regular attenders and members, summertime, we are busy. We're here. We're there. We're on vacations. We're like, where's this person? I haven't seen them in 3 weeks. Well, they're in Sweden, you know, all these places. So you have tools available to you to communicate with pastoral staff and office staff to let us know how you're doing. If you need prayer, and utilize that. Use our email addresses. Give us a call. Use the prayer requests, prayer@graceofamador.org. Just want to plug that you can communicate with us and let us know how you're doing. And when you do send those prayer requests, you can say, just keep this for office staff and pastoral staff. It doesn't have to go out to everybody else, but because I want to know how you are when we're not here and you're not here and we miss each other. Okay, so Primetimers Luncheon's coming up. They are doing the Wizard of Oz this year, or this month. It's Saturday, June the 17th. Is there something else on June the 17th? Am I wrong? I'm wrong. No, isn't that your anniversary? Oh, okay. I was like, I'm way off today. Okay, I just know that because my anniversary is Wednesday. So 17th, celebrate Primetimers Luncheon. And also, you can sign up for that in the lobby with Miss Georgia. Per usual, there is no cost, but you are welcome to come to that and participate. There's also the Scouts Yard Sale coming up that weekend. Was I wrong? Was there a cost? Oh, I'm sorry. I was wrong. It's $10 per person for the Primetimers Luncheon. That was my bad. Scouts Yard Sales coming up next that same weekend. The Scouts take over this whole area over there, and they have so much fun stuff. I have found the greatest things over the years at their yard sale. Last week, we told you to begin thinking about what you would like to donate. This week, you can bring those donations starting after church today. The Scouts are here to take everything, and they're going to be doing it all on that side patio, and so that's next weekend, the Thursday through the 17th for their yard sale. So you want to stop and support them. Supporting is a big thing. This week of CAC could not have happened without so many people and your support, both with your time and your talents and your tithing. And we are so thankful. It has just been such an amazing week. Pastor Mark's going to talk some more about that, but I just want to take the time to personally thank you for all of your generosity And generosity is taught. These children are taught to be generous with their smiles, with their time, with everything. And these kids raise so much money, too. I'll let Pastor Mark talk about that. But at Grace, you have three ways that you can give. You can give digitally, you can give in the box in the back, and you can also mail it in. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much for this building that you have provided for us and continue month after month to provide so we can be here. And we can do something like our creative arts camp. And we can work with the church of Amador County, the other churches, the amount of people in this building, Lord, that just honored you all week. I just think and we give you all of the praise. Jesus, we love and we praise you. Would you bless each person here this morning, those who are not here far? Would you bless our brothers and sisters from the other churches, Lord? They're celebrating as well this morning in their churches around our county and around the world. We honor you. Amen.
When you place your faith in Jesus, God himself comes to dwell in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that we get a new mind, a new perspective, a new ability to live out of a spiritual center of us rather than just according to kind of a flawed perspective that has a limited knowledge. Whereas when we place our faith in Jesus, we get to see the big picture that God will, in the end, make all the things right. He will judge all things perfectly and justly. And it helps us today when things aren't going the way you'd prefer in your life or you're experiencing something that is causing fear, to be able to trust in him more fully. And the words of this song that we're singing together reflect that trust and surrender to God and his will. You can stand or remain seated, that we just sing these words together, familiar song. To Jesus I surrender all, to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Surrender.
changing hats. Come on over here and welcome you once again. And if you're new, my name is Mark. I am... How about now? Is that...
Am I muted or not? There we go. Thank you. That was my end, not their end. If you're new, my name is Mark. I am the lead pastor here at Grace. And we have been going through the book of 1 Peter together, but this morning we're going to mix it up. And I'm going to explain that in a minute. But before we get there, there's a couple of prayer requests I wanted to make known. We want to be just lifting up the Kreshok family. Many of you may have heard that in just in the short period of about a week and a half, Ethan Kreshok, who we just had up on stage here, his dad, Steve, had a stroke, and through subsequent complications, ended up passing away. And that's Dana, our children's ministry director, her former husband, and lots of grief, as you can imagine, in that. We want to be, our hearts go out to Dana and Ethan and all of the family for this untimely death. Steve was a believer. He is in the presence of God, and that is the hope in the midst of our sorrow that we all have, though we grieve loss. We do not grieve without hope. And so we are thankful for that. I want to bring a couple of things over at Sutter right now. Stacy Larson, who's a member of Grace, who's been battling COVID, is now in the ER trying to, that her condition worsens a bit there. We want to be praying for the Larson family, particularly Stacy. And also a prayer request from someone who doesn't attend our fellowship here, but had a deep need. His daughter was donating half of her liver to her uncle. And apparently, this is something I didn't know, that when you donate half your liver, in a matter of weeks, your liver regenerates and can completely become a whole liver again. And so that's the hope for the procedure. But her dad was concerned about this whole process, wanted us to be praying. Her name is Jessica. And so let's stop and give thanks for the week as well as these requests. Father, we are so grateful that you see us. You see us in the midst of every high and low. Those moments in life where we are laughing with joy or crying in sorrow. When we are looking to the future and the future seems uncertain. And so, God, we ask that you would make your presence known right now, especially with Jessica, with Stacy, with Dana and Ethan, and all of the Kreshok family, with each of those who, during this very full week at Creative Arts Camp, may be suffering from some sort of cold or illness or whatever brought on by our body being so tired. Lord, we lift these needs up to you, and we ask for your help, for your strength, for your healing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I also want to recognize, on kind of a fun note, the Ubrins, Paul and Liz. There you are back there. You're normally over there when you have attended Grace. A long family of Grace who've moved away in recent years to Florida are visiting us today. They're right in the back there, Paul and Liz. Welcome you this morning. So I just want to point them out so in case you hadn't seen them yet, you want to be able to say hello. They're not going to be around very long heading back or onto the new place. So welcome. What a week. Much of our thought process as human beings looks forward. If you're anything like me, we are always anticipating what is ahead, what needs do we have, how do we, you know, do we have enough funds, resources, whatever, to prepare for that thing in the future. And for me, all this week, you know, subsequent to, along with being here and filming all of the things that were going on with Creative Arts Camp. I'm trying to steal away and study and prepare. Sierra was doing the very same thing, preparing for her class this morning at 9 a.m. And I'm thinking about the normal logistics of keeping everything maintained during the week, but also what's going to happen on Sunday morning and everything. We're always looking ahead. And because that's so true in life, sometimes it's a discipline to stop and to rest. Sometimes our body just demands it of us. We didn't plan on stopping or resting, but sometimes we get ill and we were forced to, right? And I don't know if you have experienced this, but there's been some times in my life where my life was unexpectedly shut down and it ended up being a blessing because it gave me a break from the normal pressures and sometimes frenetic pace of life. And also, one thing that's a part of my personality too, because I'm always just thinking forward and working, I need to discipline myself to rest. I also have this hiccup in my personality that when something goes really well, I tend to only see, well, I acknowledge that things go well, but I see, like, how could we have done that better? You know, I kind of pick at the things that I could have said this differently. We could have made that decision, you know, in hindsight, would have been a little bit better. That's the way my mind thinks. And so in expressing some of this about something that really, some years recent, I've shared this story before. I was expressing something really good that happened, and I was kind of pointing out the things I was a little disappointed about, of this really good thing. And my daughter, who was, I think, a freshman or sophomore in college at the time, she says, "Dad, you need to learn how to celebrate better." That was really good what just happened. And all you could think of the things, how you could have done something different or better or whatever. Stop, celebrate. And so tomorrow, this morning, God really has been speaking to me this weekend. I was yesterday journaling and thinking about this entire week and all the amazing things. That was really where my mind was occupied. And God, I believe, just said, "Mark, slow down. Stop. Take a breath. Celebrate this that just happened. Let's reflect on this rather than moving forward with 1 Peter, which we'd normally be studying." And in fact, it's a little bit of relief because the passages we're studying are not happy passages in the near future. They had judgment as a part of them. And so I was like, and we're going to get to those because the Bible talks about those things. But let's stop. Let's celebrate. Let's point out the wonderful things that God is doing and how things are working so well. This past week, many of you here were a part of our creative arts camp. Just some highlights, 300 children have come to be a part of this. These chairs were cleared out and they were all over, as you saw in the video. And so many lead artists were setting up different spaces all around this church campus to teach different skills, like from welding to woodworking to baking to art, jewelry making, all kinds of things. And it was amazing to behold. And so this morning, I'd like to just stop and think about some of these things. So we had 300 kids here. First of all, children are often kind of the secondary thought of when we think about the urgency of life and moving on, even as families. And this kind of seems strange to say this, but you know, when you're in the store, you're there to buy food, and your kids sometimes are counterproductive in that task, right? And just to get in, get out without embarrassing me too much as your mom or your dad. In the sense of, you know, kids often, we have this idea of they're better seen and not heard. We want to, you know, make sure that they're in line so they don't embarrass us or whatever it is. But when we have an event like this, it's all about the kids. It's nothing about us. It is lifting up a generation of people who cannot, if they were just turned out on their own, could not fend for themselves. They don't have jobs. They don't have ways of making money. Their opinions are not very formed. They have opinions about what they like to eat, usually something like macaroni and cheese with some sort of ketchup or something on it, you know. Their needs are very basic. They need others to care for them primarily at each stage of development, right? And so all of a sudden, this entire week was dedicated to these who, by their very nature, are the recipients and don't have a large ability to contribute back to society in the world. This is exactly how God views them, the value that God views children. Remember the story in Jesus when the disciples were saying to the kids in their day, the kids wanted to come see Jesus, and Jesus, who is to the disciples, you know, the very important person, the VIP. And it's like, no, we don't have time for kids. And Jesus stopped the disciples and he said, no, come, let the children come to me. For such as these is the kingdom. In fact, he said, unless you have faith like these kids, simple, pure trust. This is the kind of faith that I require for those who believe in me. Simple trust. Jesus loves children. God loves children. And that is the motive for us as a church, that we would expend so much energy, so much of our time, so much of our personal resources to invest in young people. Why? Because we love them like God loves them. So to pull this off for 300 kids, you need like 100 volunteers. I don't know what the total number was. Mike Stromberg said a statistic. We had two adults for every three kids. So is that one for 1.5 or whatever that is? Children, we had the ratio from volunteer, adult. When I say adults, I mean high schoolers and up. We had so many high schoolers who were a part of pitching in and contributing to the investment. Those young kids were looking to them. I mean, we're just old fogies, right, to much of these kids. But when they're the high school kids who are really cool in their eyes, investing back in them in meaningful ways, what a powerful message. And it's as if we couldn't do it alone here at Grace Fellowship, right? When you think of things of this magnitude, you need lots of volunteers. And so we were able to enjoy the volunteers from more than 7 different churches in our community. 3 churches. Yeah, let's do that. You think sometimes like I said, if you're like me, you kind of point at the things that don't work as well as you'd like. Why are the churches, they need to come together. We really believe in the same God. If you had any doubt whether or not we can be unified and work together, this past week was amazing to that end. And so many beyond the many churches that were involved in pulling this off, we had other people in the community just coming to say, this is an amazing thing. We want to invest as well. So we had people like the Master Gardeners here doing the gardening class. We had the Amador Fly Fishers Club coming and invest in teaching fly fishing to our young people, and just a wide range of people investing in our kids. Amazing things. So a couple of the highlights. I'm going to do something that I don't normally do on a Sunday morning. I'm going to grab one of these wireless mics. I'm going to walk to you because I want to hear from one of you or some of you who have had the privilege of volunteering in some way. What experience, be thinking about this. What experience did you have this week that God kind of used to speak to you in your own heart? What kind of interaction did you have maybe with one or two of the kids that was meaningful to you? So if I'm a volunteer in one part of the building, maybe I didn't even see the rest of what was going on. I mean, you had to be hands-on. Whatever your job was, you didn't have a lot of downtime to go roam around. I mean, it was a well-oiled machine happening all week long. And so I want to hear from you. Did you have a meaningful interaction with another volunteer, with a child that was really kind of stuck with you that you'd like to share? Or how did God use this experience to speak to you personally? I'm going to, in a moment, kind of grab a mic and come to you. So we had a variety of things being taught all around the building, invested. It took so much to set this up, to pull it off, to reset it to the degree that you see it today, and so on. So hands off to our volunteers and the many churches that invested. A central message all week long was that you are not alone. That was the theme of the camp. You are never alone. God loves you, even when you make errors, even when you... And the teaching each day centered around that theme. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite Debbie King, who wrote the curriculum, to come on up here. And I'm going to... she can do this better than anyone. Gives us a summary of how we incorporated this theme using different Bible characters and so on. Now, we had 3... I'll give this to you. We had three different Bible teachers, three different classes that happened simultaneous. We had Debbie King teaching one class, and then in here we had Kim Conley teaching another class, and Chris Kazad in the lobby teaching another class. And three dynamic teachers, and you saw probably some of the pictures from that, those classes. Debbie, tell us what the kids were learning this week.
Well, we were all, as we were planning this, we wanted very much, we see this, a tremendous attack being happening on the souls of our children, countywide, nationwide, and it makes them question their identity, question their value, question all kinds of things about. So we thought, what can help them? And not feeling isolated, not feel a sense of not being alone was what came to mind. So that was the theme. You are never alone. We picked Hebrews 13:5 that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And we did just that half of the verse, and that's what we taught them all week long. So then we went through and decided some scenarios. When our kids, what kind of things do they live through? And one of them is injustice. And so a lot of times kids say, that's not fair. And most of the time when it's not fair, it's just because I didn't get my way. You know, like mom bought chocolate and I wanted vanilla ice cream. So that's not fair. That's not a real serious attack on your soul, but there's a whole lot of really serious injustice attack on your soul. So we took the story of Joseph and told them that he was hated by his brothers, ridiculed by his brothers, not one kind thing was said by his brothers, and then they attempted murder. They threw him in a, just to throw him in a little pit doesn't mean he went like down three stairs. They threw him in an empty well. That's a little unfair. They're trying to figure out what to do with him now, and they're planning to kill him. Instead, they sell him as a slave. When he gets to where he's going, he is unjustly accused of a crime. He's innocent of the crime, but the punishment, he's no trial, no jury, no judge, found guilty, in jail. And then after he's in jail for a while, there's a potential way out, and that person forgets. So he is in there for years. Okay, so how does a person deal with that? How does that not destroy their soul? How do you get through? How is he not plotting revenge, not filled with bitterness, not angry, not violent? How is he not like that? So he learned a secret, and it was an art. And since this was Creative Arts Camp, we wanted to teach them an art. God set him up with this. He gave him some promises. One in the image of a coat. That colorful coat that all of us learn about is the sign that says he will be the leader of the family. And here he is in jail. And there's his coat. And then he has these dreams that people will be bowing down to him. Now, he has no clue how this is going to happen. He has to believe in a promise that he doesn't understand. Talk about faith. But he does that so well, his soul forgives. That's the art of forgiveness. He comes out of there with such a healed soul that when he is in charge and he has the opportunity legally and rightfully for severe revenge and judgment on the guilty people, he forgives them. And I thought, what a wonderful thing to teach the children. How do you protect your soul? Because bitterness and all that stuff does not damage the other guy. That only damages yourself. So, we are never alone, even when life's unfair. And then we thought, okay, there's another scenario. They are often feel alone. This was more for the big kids than the little kids, but we made it for the little kids. When they're deleted, when they're canceled, when their Facebook page has zero likes on it. That sounds like it's so silly, but you realize what that tells to people? That, to those kids, that means I am of no value whatsoever. Nobody likes me, nothing, and That eats at their souls. All right, so we thought, okay, so who was one of the most deleted people in the Bible? And obviously it comes up with Zacchaeus, and he actually deserved half of his deletion because he was a tax collector back then is way different than a tax collector now. A tax collector back then was a traitor to his people because he was also a cheat of his people because he took extra money that was not needed on taxes and kept it. He became very, very rich. He had a huge house. He had lots of servants, but he ate every meal alone, and he lived alone, and he had zero friends. So how is there hope for a person like that? So he hears about Jesus. He's trying to get to Jesus. They won't even let him through. He's a short little guy. I don't know if he had a birth defect of some sort. I don't know. He's a short little guy, and all he wants to do is get to the front of the crowd. They hate him so much, they won't even let him wiggle between their legs to stand in the front of the crowd. He is so shunned. So he finally sees this tree. He goes, it's a tree with a lot of foliage. He can get up in the tree. He can look down on the street, and nobody can see him. Perfect spot for him. He's safe. He can see Jesus. Jesus walks through, he stops under the tree, calls Zacchaeus down, and he says something that shocks the entire crowd. I'm going to eat with you today. Nobody there would have eaten with Zacchaeus. And Jesus says, I'm going to eat with you today. Now, Zacchaeus comes down, he immediately realized, I'm accepted. I have a friend. Someone accepts me. And his life has changed immediately. You can tell by what he does that he believes in Christ like before he hits the ground. And then the crowd immediately deletes Jesus. And it starts he's on his way to Jerusalem for his last week. And the crowd deletes Jesus. It all carries on. We find out later that Jesus is completely deleted on the cross so Zacchaeus could be accepted. So we find out that even when we are rejected, we are never alone. And then we thought, okay, what about the people who are just completely overlooked? You know, the kid who never gets picked for the team, you know? I was one of those kids. I could play baseball pretty well, but nobody thought so because I just didn't look like it. And I was never picked for the team. I was always the last one. That's how it went. And so what about the person who's never chosen? We thought, okay, let's teach David. All right, so Saul has been canceled from being king for a good reason, and that was God's choice. And Samuel's come to town, and he's having a big celebration with a big sacrifice, and he invites Jesse's family. Jesse is, whoa, we are the special invited guests. They don't really know what's going on yet, but his sons are great looking military guys. They all come in their dress whites and they're all standing there, and Jesse finds out that we are anointing the next king. So he stands Eliab up there, and Eliab looks great. I mean, he's got the look of a king like you can't. And God says, no, I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. So we go through Eliab, and we go to Abinadab, and we go to Shema, and we go to number 4, and we go to number 5, and we go to number 6, and we go to number 7. And God says, no, no, no. And finally, Samuel goes, what is wrong here? And he looks at Jesse and goes, are these all your sons? Jesse goes, well, there's one other, but he doesn't qualify. You don't want him. He stinks. He smells like sheep. So Samuel goes, no, we are not eating. You stop everything. You go get him. Well, food goes cold, and they go to get David. Now, David is such a faithful, loyal, responsible guy. He won't even leave the sheep until that shepherd knows how to take his place. I mean, that that servant who came to get him knows what to do, because he's not going to leave those sheep unattended. He's not going to leave them well. So they have to wait and wait and wait. And finally, David comes. He's in his grubbies. He's been out with the sheep for, two or three weeks. He walks in, and Samuel looks down, and God says, "This is the one, because I look at his heart." So I went through, and I said, "Okay, how many of you have something about yourselves you don't like? Oh, my hair is straight, and I wished it was curly. Oh, I'm a short guy, and I wish I was tall. I'm horrendously tall. I wish I was short. I don't have muscles, and I wish I did." So, and then we went through and said, even when you are not the popular kid, but not the one remembered, the one who's forgotten, God has never forgotten you, because he looks at your heart. So you are never alone. Then we went to, this is Thursday, what about the kid who's big time, top of the notch? You know, he is the hero of the basketball team. He's the one who can make all the three-pointers. He's the one, he's the captain of the team. Everything's going great, and they have won every game. And we are now we're at the game that decides who goes to regionals. And there's 5 seconds left, and they're down by 2 points. And if he runs up and throws the three-pointer that he does over and over and over and over again, that he always makes, they're going to win. So he runs up and he throws it, and it misses. What do you do when you fail in front of everyone? How messed up is that kid's soul? How difficult is that? So told the story of Peter. Peter is the lead disciple. He's the top guy. Everybody follows him. Peter says, "Let's go do this." They go do this. And Peter has promised Jesus on his life, "I will never deny you." Within, 4 hours? With a little slave girl saying, "I think you're one of the followers of Jesus." He goes, "I am not. I am not." And he says it with big swear words and big serious stuff. And then the cock crows twice. Jesus is probably hauled down from the Sanhedrin, which is meeting up in Caiaphas' house. And their eyes meet. And Peter knows he has failed big time in front of everyone. How does he deal with that? He goes out. I mean, to say that he cried all night, this guy was in utter despair, in horror all night long. It does not say that he was at the cross when Jesus was crucified. He might have been. It doesn't tell us that. It does not say that he was around when they buried him. As a matter of fact, it does not say that he went to the tomb first thing in Sunday morning. He is in grief, seriously. And he feels completely rejected. He has to be rejected by God now, right? He has to be. So even after Jesus rises from the dead and all that, Peter still does not have purpose. He goes, "I'm going fishing." And a bunch of them follow him. And he goes, "Don't follow me. I'm not the leader anymore. I'm going fishing." So they go out, they fish all night, no fish. It's a guy standing on the shore. The guy on the shore says, "Hey, throw the net on the other side of the boat." Like that's going to work, because there are fish on this side, but not fish on this side, right? They throw the net on the other side, and of course, the boat almost tips over. So many fish. And they realize, flashback, that was exactly how Jesus called Peter the first time. That was exactly how Jesus says, "I choose you. Jesus reaffirmed how chosen Peter was. So we learned that even when we fail, even when we sin, even when we do it in front of everyone, God still has a plan for our lives. He still has forgiveness. He still has purpose for us. So now on the very last day, it's about he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. You don't have any value of what it means to not be forsaken if you don't know what forsaken looks like. So we told the story of the cross. We told it gently for the kindergartner and third graders. We told it pretty, little bit up for fourth and fifth. But for 6 through 8, we didn't pull any punches. And we described the seriousness of crucifixion. And we described how even in that, when the nails went in, Jesus didn't scream. When the crown got shoved down on his head, Jesus didn't scream. When his back was ripped apart, Jesus didn't scream. When they dropped the cross with him hanging on it into the hole, which dislocated his shoulders and pulled everything out, Jesus didn't scream. But when God started to pour the sins of the world on him, he screamed out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that's what forsaken looks like. It was horrid. It is beyond what we can understand. And he was forsaken, so we will never be, because that bought us our salvation. So at that point, we presented salvation, led a prayer where kids could respond and believe in Jesus Christ and realize how valuable salvation really is. And I happened to have several of them tell me thank you for teaching them this. Some of them who are unchurched. So I was very blessed by that. And that is why you are never alone.
What an amazing message of hope and God's truth that we wanted to convey, in addition to just our investment of love into these kids each day. And in addition to investing in them the truth of God's word and these skills we were teaching, we gave them opportunity to express their own gratitude and privilege by raising money to... The funds were raised to give to Haitian children whom we are connected to as Grace, the Bridge, our Bridge program where we sponsor kids, we provide meals, we provide resources for the teachers to be able to teach effectively and so on. And so we gave opportunity for the kids to raise funds to contribute to them, to buy food for them, to contribute to this ongoing work, which was really exciting. And they really got into it. And we made just kind of a playful competition between the boys and the girls. That was the pie thing in the end. The losers would get a pie in the face. It happened. The girls happened to win in the end. And so both Matthew and I received a pie in the face. But in the process of that, yes, all for the sake of the Lord, right? We're happy to do that. And it was a lot of fun. But in the process of all of that, these kids raised... Wendy, are you here this morning? What was the amount? Was it $2,500, $2,400? $2,500 were raised for this ministry. And these kids were so excited. So we have a clip of one of the days when we're announcing the news. This is only Tuesday. It's building all the way to Friday. Just get an example of their enthusiasm when we were announcing these numbers. The kind of energy that they were expressing, they were so happy to be contributing, to giving, and the friendly competition that we were raising as well. That was so fun. I kept getting word, even though we were setting it up
that, you know, I would get a pie in the face if the girls won. The boys through the week were leading the way, and there was a sense in the end, the very last day, there was a great shift in numbers toward the girls. And I had gotten word that several of you had began to really contribute to the girls' side of things to ensure a particular outcome. So I was very happy that Matthew shared in that pie tasting contest with me. So what a wonderful thing. And at the end of the week, we were able to give, last year we did this where we gave every single student, every single participant, a Bible that was age appropriate for the youngest and the older kids. This year we wanted to do the same, but because we had given a Bible to all of those kids last year, many of them that would have been here again, what we did this year was give, if you transition from a younger age group to an older age group, we gave you the older age group Bible. And if you've never been at Creative Arts Camp before, we would give you a brand new Bible according to your age. And so, Sue, how many Bibles did we give out Friday night? Or on Friday? 150 Bibles. So what I'd like to do, I just want to hear from you. You've been hearing kind of some of this overview. I really want to know what it was like in the trenches. And also, you know, how did God impact you personally if you were what we call a camp guide, or we had nurses, doctors, or paramedics. We had parking attendants. We had our tech ministry. We had, you know, everybody. If you were involved in some way and God spoke to you through this event, what did he impress upon you? Did you have a particular conversation with a child that relayed to you, or a parent at when they came to drop off or pick up that expressed to you something that would be really helpful for us to hear? So I'm going to come to you, and if you would be so courageous to maybe just lift your hand up. I see you in the back. I'm going to start right here with you, Steve. Tell us what your responsibility was this week.
Wood arch, and I was associate artist. Bruce Oliver was our lead. Great group of kids, junior varsity, age-appropriate projects. But what impressed me the most was we had three artists and two camp guides. That's five adults. And we were able to work so well. Everything flowed so well. It just seemed like when one kid needed something, there was someone there to help. Oh, and I was really impressed by that. There wasn't somebody saying, I've been waiting a long time. You know, it just flowed really good. But what I wanted to speak to was Parents Night. Because this was my first Parents Night. My second camp, but my first Parents Night. I'm not a parent. And to see those parents' faces light up when they saw what their kids did and how much the kids beamed back at the acceptance they were getting from their parents, that's what put the love of this project into my heart. I said, this is a good thing.
Thank you, Steve. Martha, is she going to give one to Pam there?
Pastor Jonathan and I did the drama, and we were so amazed at what great kids we had. Both things that they covered this week is God is with you, and he'll be your strength, as well as helping kids with the woke ideology that they're confronted with and all those challenges. And we tried to address that in each of our plays. The little kids did the armor of God, the Ephesians armor of God, and that they can conquer evil, and that in particular they had swords, which were pool noodles, which was awesome, and that, you know, we were able to accomplish that they understand they can conquer evil with the good armor that God gives us. The older kids, our older kids were amazing. They had their stuff done by Thursday. I mean, we had two that we think will go on to be directors because they're pretty much like helping us block on the stage. But when we asked questions of them about how do you deal with when someone says, well, one of our skits was a kid's wearing a green shirt and a girl says, well, I really like that purple shirt. And he's like, my green shirt?
Well, if it's purple, if I say it's purple to me. I mean, I think it can be purple. It's purple. And everybody else is scratching their heads. So we had the discussion about how do we deal with that in this crazy world. And almost all of them said, well, we research it. I mean, these kids understand. I was so impressed that they go, well, when someone's talking about that, you know, one day of the week or one time of the year, it's spring or it's summer, they're like, well, we look at the calendar. We check it out. And especially several of them said, well, of course we go to the Bible. So there is hope for this future. These kids were amazing, and they were just right up there in understanding what we were trying to convey. It was a great week with those kids.
Thank you, Pam. Charles?
I was with art, culinary art, and Kim Johnson asked the kids, if you made friends with other kids, you know what impressed me? Those kids, junior and seniors, they were so impressed. They found like their role model in older kids, and how they created this friendship, how they opened up, how they, from different cities, different schools, different even counties, they came together and they bonded. And I'm sure that friendship will last for all their life. Even when they are adult, that friendship, they'll remember that day. That was very impressive.
Yeah. Who else? Love hearing these stories. This is so helpful to us. Karen.
I think it was just on day two when we were talking about being bullied, and Kim asked how many kids, and I was a camp guide for the little, so they're just going into kindergarten, or the oldest is going into third, and I think over three-fourths of the kids just raised their head that they had already been, you know, felt that of being bullied, and I just thought, we just have an opportunity to love on these kids, and we have no idea what hurts they've already experienced.
Thank you. Anybody else? So good to see this, hear this. Yeah, here we are.
Hi, my name's Anne, and this is my first camp, and I've only been coming to Grace maybe 4 months. So I volunteered. I didn't know what was going to happen, what I'd do. I just put my name down. And so the day we found out where we were, I was like shocked because they put me in watercolor, and I've done a lot of painting before, so I thought, was this a coincidence or is God's hand around here? And it turns out that the lead artist was unable to come for a few days because there was a death in her family, and so I was like the backup person, and I just stepped in immediately because I felt God was saying, that's what you're there for, you know? So I felt like God's hand was here the whole time. You could really feel it. That's it.
Couple more. Love to hear these. Or on this side. Get my steps in today.
Suzanne and I have, this is our third year here. We come up from Arizona to be with Sheila and Matthew. But I was in the engineering group. We were building electric cars, electric motors, but one of the things that really impressed me was Friday when the kids got their Bibles, one of the little guys, kindergarten age, got his first Bible, and he sat down on the floor, and he didn't want anything else to do but just go through that Bible. So it was very meaningful.
Thank you, Daryl. Another one over here. Martha's point. Yes. Here we go.
So I wasn't able to help with Creative Arts Camp, but one of my clients I work for, her granddaughter came, and when I went to visit her for work, she was telling me what an impact, and it was only Wednesday, that it had had on that kid's life and now on the family going forward, and they're not a churched family.
Further, Martha. Yeah, sorry. Right there.
Well, I just picked up my boys every day, and the first thing they said was, oh, Mimi, we just love having all those kids help. They're so nice, and we're having such a good time. They were pumped every single day, and I could tell such a difference in their attitude toward each other. And just generally, they were really, really blessed, and I just thank everyone.
Our family is new to the area, and we're very grateful for the community we have found here. We attended one service before camp started. I reached out to Dana, I don't know, a month ago, and I had missed the sign up for classes. I had missed the registration. It was already full, and I said, I'll volunteer. Put me to work. So the kids got in, and it's been a very trying transitional year for us and our family, so we're really grateful to find this community and feel so welcomed, and the kids had a great time. So, thank you.
Thank you.
John.
Thanks, Mark. I was very apprehensive when we got involved in this, and my team in gardening, we're not really surrounded by kids very often. I have to admit, though, by the end of the week, the infectiousness of not only the groups that we had, but those around us between sessions and whatnot, filled me, and I think the rest of the team, with great, great joy. To see them actually be attentive, to see young people who are respectful of each other, respectful of their peers, really warmed my heart. And my takeaway is that, you know, there's great hope in this world. God has provided our children and grandchildren great opportunities to reach into their hearts. I see great hope in this world.
I want to say thanks to all the youth that helped all of us. Give them a hand, guys. You know, there's some of us old fogies that we don't make it through the day without having to sit down or take a nap or whatever. Some of you are laughing. You know what I'm talking about. But what I really get a kick out of is, one, the adaptability of us other old fogies. As we come to a project and we say, oh, we need to fix this or do that, and we come together as a bunch of men and young people to make it happen. But the thing that really impressed me the most was, I'm looking at this guy over here, Kai, who last year he and I had an encounter because he was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing out there around the machines. And we have grown together last year and now this year because he came to help. And just watching him mature and become a godly man in doing and relating to the kids, that was what impressed me the most. He and Maverick and a few others, and I'm sure the rest of you that were leaders could attest to the same sort of thing, how the young people came along and helped with all the other kids. So we are thankful for that.
My name is Caroline. I did jewelry. On Tuesday morning, it started to sprinkle at my house as I was scrambling to get ready to go. And I just had the thought to stop and look up at the sky and talk to God for a moment. And I said, God, would you put a blessing, a shield of protection over the church, all the property, everyone coming, everyone going, everything that happens within, with every class and every teacher and every kid today, that Satan, any offensive attack would be diffused and just not able to happen. And that if you would let that happen in the spiritual, that you would put a rainbow over the church to show that you are listening and that you answered that promise or that request of mine and that your promise is there to protect us. And what do you know? We got a rainbow over the church on Tuesday morning. And I feel like as I was praying that, it was happening, because when I looked at the picture later and saw that there were no cars in the parking lot, that's right about the time when I would have been praying that. So praise God. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, along those same lines, Satan was really out to try to get us because he knew great things were going to happen. And at least it was near the end of the first day. The septic system quit. None of the toilets could flush. And we were able to figure out the solution and get it going for the rest of the week. And so he was trying everything he could to slow down what was going to be happening here.
Thank you. Martha, right, Bob.
Yeah, I want to start out and thank Rick and Jenna, our camp guides. I'm with the Outdoor Adventures, and we did the fly fishing. And they did an outstanding job keeping the kids in order and bringing them to us. And one of the things that we tried to teach a kid, and what Debbie was keying on, is that they're at that age where they start trying to get into sports and that, and whether they feel left behind. Well, fishing, and Mark can testify to this because he does it on a lot of his hikes, that you're not competing against other kids. And you're basically trying to outsmart your opponent like you would in a regular sport, and you learn more about it. But what was surprising is whether it was junior or varsity, when we got into the fly tying and the casting, how the kids would just focus on trying to do it right and make this stuff. And we did the simplest fly, two of them, that will catch any kind of fish. But the way I look at it, and especially with parents that we try to get them involved, it's another alternative than video games. And what a better way to see God's creation is to get out there. And one of the things that we do in support is the first Saturday in May every year at Murphy Park, the Calaveras Fish and Wildlife Commission, Fish and Game, and our club, Amateur Fly Fishers and Calaveras Fly Fishers, it's a kids' free fish day. And what they do is open it up to everybody. I mean, you have people coming from Livermore and everything. It's free, and it's not necessarily fly fishing bait, but we help the kids, help the parents. And we see a lot of parents, we see a lot of grandparents there, that never got out there and fished or anything, and their kids, and they stock it. And you'll have the game wardens there too and everything. And everybody's participating to stock it. But you'll see the kids and how the parents afterwards, that how that brings them together. And I can say for myself, with our three boys, we would always have an annual trip every year with some friends of mine, and we did it with part of the club up at Highlands Lake. I don't know if you guys know it. It's Ebbets Pass. And we would go up there and camp for a week and fish. And I see that, whether it's at Murphy's Park or that if you can find something in common and something that, and they would hike, while we would stay around camp and stuff, but we all fished, that it keeps that communication between you and your child, because everybody's got such a busy life, and you're dealing with kids with video games, and you don't have that communication. And I think Patty can say that from our kids all the way to where they're adults now, that we have family get-togethers, and they're there. But the communication and everything is, I mean, you just can't say enough. And but when I see, like, the woodworking, the welding, and all that, it's awesome because these kids, the oldest, are eighth graders. They're getting ready to go into high school. Well, they got metal shop, wood shop, and all that. And it helps the kids, and yeah, whether I want to take that course or not. But I think it's a self-confidence thing for the kids to build them up.
So good. So thank you.
I think this is an outstanding program.
Martha, you said just one more. We have time for one more.
I was just going to share that Elizabeth Wiebe and I had the opportunity to teach voice with our students. And on day two, one of the kids said, "What is Hebrews?" It was on their shirt, but they didn't have any idea what Hebrews was, what it meant. So gave us the opportunity. I pulled out a youth Bible, and we went right to Hebrews. And the song that we were teaching them was our theme verse and for the week. And when we read the passage to them, they all were just amazed. They said, "We're singing scripture? We're singing words from the Bible?" You know, it was just so powerful to hear them make that connection and then to also know that you know, this is God's word, and it was a blessing. So it was a wonderful week.
I'm going to try to say this without crying. I can't do it. You know, after 6 months of working on this and planning and bringing together this team, I was obviously looking very forward to just immersing myself in this whole week after planning for it for so long, and had no idea that it was going to be one of the toughest weeks of my life with some very painful loss. But I just want to thank you all for stepping up, filling in where I had to step out, and giving me that space to be where I needed to be. To just be with Steve in his last days. And I was just, I knew that the body of Christ was praying for me and for us and for Steve and for all of us. So I just want to thank everybody for your prayers and for stepping in and being such a strong support to me and the rest of the family. And it's just a testament to the beauty of the body of Christ. So I just wanted to thank you.
Thank you, Dana. Let's bring the worship team up, and we could do this all day. I mean, there's so many stories. We are really just the tip of the iceberg with what has just been shared, what you've heard. And it's so good to remember, to reflect about the impact of, you know, it was an event that was 6 months in the planning. Such great detail went into this, so much effort. I want to draw attention to particularly like Deanne Fine, who stepped up in such a great way into Dana's place and was one of the integral part of the, you know, persons in the planning process, and then really took on the mantle when Dana could not return. Staying late, answering. There's so many. You start saying names, you're going to start missing people, so I'll stop there. But you just see God's hand in every detail in something like this. And so we're going to end by, if you're able, standing together. We're going to sing this song. We open the service with Hosanna. Hosanna is a word that means God save us. And so we're crying out, Lord, save us. We're so grateful that He is the provision for us that we can have hope in this world. And so let's sing in our service, singing that together.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. Return to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come make your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna.
Father God, we thank you for the provision you and your Son, the love you've expressed, and the beauty of this past week. Lord, we ask you would go with us as we leave this place and continue to tell the stories of how you impacted us in such unique ways this week. God, we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Grace and peace to you today.